You are listening to the Trust Podcast, a safe space to dialogue around disconnection and reconnections in our present time. Find out more at trustcollaboration.com.
This is a photograph of a young woman with long, light brown hair. She's standing in front of a piece of graffiti painted on a black wall in an urban environment. She's wearing sunglasses, a casual white jacket, white sneakers, and jeans with holes at the knees. She has a leather shoulder bag. The graffiti is of a huge, colorful pair of wings. They are white, bright pink, deep blue, and turquoise. They look like they could be her wings.
Thank you, everyone, for being here, and welcome to the sixth episode of the Trust Podcast. This is an episode about the topic of transformation. And together with the next one about urban transition, we will use these topics to try to close the U path that was guiding us in the first season of the Trust Podcast. In fact, we wanted to first explore with a practitioner and expert and students the doom and gloom scenarios along the three main disruptions, social, ecological, and spiritual, we are witnessing nowadays. And that has been done along the three episodes of the podcast. And then now we want to understand how we should aim for large-scale transformation. Of course, it is easy to feel paralyzed and daunted by this task. And also, I guess we can feel a bit sad after all the collective theater in this 26th act of the COP play. We heard about fair and balanced reporting on progress that is sold by media. Of course, this is progress and this transformation, but to what? This is largely irrelevant to the task at the hand in a time frame. We have. Are we incapable of saying the truth, even if the implications for our economy are not practical? Are we incapable to aim for a real bold transformation? So I'm going to ask today Per Olson and Julia Sesha, what do they think about transformation? So first, let me ask our two guests, what do they feel about the image you have been listening to the description to and you saw beforehand? And Julia, you want to start maybe? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for inviting me for this conversation. It's a pleasure. Regarding the picture that you have you put for us, what I can comment on that. So is a young lady with some wings, two wings, and but is a young lady that is stopped in a street. So I think the thoughts that I have when looking at that is that. And also listening the youth around the world, what I feel is that these youth really have some wings to do this transformation, but somehow they are trapped in our mainstream and business as usual scheme. So it is the same with a bird that could be hurt. They have these wings, but they don't are able to fly. And I really believe that some of this problem relies in my generation, my business as usual schemes that we at the 50s and 60s year old people have developed to govern the world.
Thank you, Julia. You opened the way to discuss about our role, also as decision maker or at least powerful academic actor to drive the transformation. But first, let me ask Per, what have been your feelings toward this photo on transformation?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to this, Julia. It's nice to be here. When I see the image, my thoughts goes to the need for imagination, imagining our future, thinking differently about our future. So that's the first thing I think about. And there's a lot of issues and around imagination. And there is a lot of literature that says it's a really important capacity and transformative capacity actually has an important role to play in our in the transformations that you talk about. And so imagination is I think, linked to also work on scenarios and narratives. There's a lot of issues around imagination right now. You mentioned the youth movement and which raises the question of who gets to imagine and who has the power and possibilities to imagine. There's a lot of people that are marginalized in the world that might not have the energy or the resources to imagine because they have to just basically survive. And that means that there is a equality issue there and who gets to imagine and that it's not just the global north that has time to energy to imagine things. So my colleagues, for example, Laura Pereira and Michelle E. Moore and others, they look at this and try to work with. For example, there's a project called AfriFutures and African Futures where processes of imaginations are sort of based on where people are in their own context. So that's what I start to think about when I see this image. And of course, the youth movement, which Julia already talked about.
Yeah, thank you Per. Let me introduce you also to the audience. So Per Olsson leads the Stockholm Resilience Center's work on transformation for sustainability, working with agency and system entrepreneurship, and his current research focuses on agency and system entrepreneurship, social ecological innovation, transformation to sustainability, and how to reverse current trends of crossing critical thresholds and tipping points in the Earth system. Also, he in 2019, he was recognized by the Web of Science as one of the world's most influential researchers on the past decade. And Per, you mentioned also all the wonderful colleagues you work with at the Stockholm Resilience Center. And that is offering me the window to ask you, what do you think the history tell us about purposeful large-scale transformation that can include major shift in paradigms, institution, and practice? And also, feel free to state what do you mean by transformation, how we can separate this concept from the adaptation, how young people can start imagining this new transition and this new transformation.
Yeah, maybe I'll start with what I mean when I talk about transformation. I think it's an important thing we need to talk about because the concept of transformation is taking off, really taking off, like the concept of resilience did more than a decade ago. And it's becoming more popular. And when we talk about transformation, we talk about a specific type of change that might be different than adaptation, where adaptation is basically dealing with uncertainty and disturbance but stay on track, while transformation is about changing track and changing the system that created the problems from the start. So that's I think it's important to have these definitions because the risk now is that transformation is just used instead of the word change, but we need to talk about what type of change that we need at the moment. And so some people talk about that we need transformation literacy, and that I think that is important. So, and then we have a whole definition of transformation that I think it takes a little long, too long to go through here, but there are several things that we see need to be part of that transformation. And basically it's about changing a number of relationships, and the relationship to yourself, the relationship to other people, and the relationship with the planet. But we also include sometimes the relationship to our history and our forefathers, but also the relationship to the future generations. So I think that's that. I think also point to that we need then to change, fundamentally change our behaviors and rules and regulations, and also deeper values and worldviews. But we also need to change power relationships, how resource flows in society, and also our roles and routines, and who is doing what and how. So I think it's important for to have these definitions and work on these definitions too, and the analytical frameworks, really to understand the transformative change that we say that we need.
Yeah. Thank you, Per. And actually, talking about transforming policy, Julia Seixas can maybe give us an example of what she's doing. She's an associate professor at Nova University Lisbon in the areas of remote sensing in environment and energy and climate change. She also coordinates the energy and climate group at Sensor Research Center, and dedicated to R&D towards carbon neutrality. And she coordinates also and support the national public policy on climate mitigation for more than 20 years now. So maybe Julia, you can give us an overview of your work in which you always stressed the importance to move away from solutions that just aim to reduce one negative impact in one system, because we are all interconnected, right?
Yeah. I worked for a long time with integrated energy systems modeling with a team of people also at SENSE. And we have been inviting for, no matter what is the government, from the left wing or the right wing, we have been inviting always to prepare the policy the technical studies that could support some policy decision making. So this has given me a knowledge or a sensibility regarding how the decision making system mostly on the national governmental level, but also at the local level as well. What these guys are looking for when they're talking about carbon neutrality, for example. I much agree with Per, where he explained the difference between transformation and adaptation. And one of the things that I've been concluded is that, being aware about it, is it's very, very difficult for those people who are in charge to make some decision, to make some difference. Firstly, the high difficulty to understand what is transformation about and what should be done indeed. Or because most of the time, what they want is to have some view on the future. And then the most that they do is to adapt indeed the current systems for any incremental change. And this is about the Portuguese reality, but I believe this is the case for almost all the countries. So when you looking deeper for this difficulty and this barrier of people that in sometimes I have to say they are genuine, they really want to make something different. Other times it is not the case, but sometimes it is. And and in the conversation with my group, we always come to this educational system that we have. And the educational system, from the very young to the universities, are being organized in silos for a long time. And when you make, you put some people thinking on silos, I mean, on management or economics in other way, or in mathematics, or, I mean, different rooms, different people, different communities, everything is on silos, you know? And it's very difficult for the people to understand how the system interacts across the different disciplines, across the different systems, from social to ecological to economics and so on. So it's very difficult these days. We talk about for a long time about the transdisciplinarity or interdisciplinarity. And in most of the cases when I participate in some exercises or some workshops on that, we are very polite about it. But indeed, we do not feel the things as we should do in order to understand the other guy, the other system, and try to get some links, because this is the first thing that we have to do. You have to listen, to understand, to change in the next phase. Otherwise, it is very difficult. And this applies not only to the policy making schemes at the political system, but also at companies. It really happens at the leadership or the board of the companies also. So I think we need to transform. Transformation for me at this moment or at this time means something different that we have to do with our young people. Hmm. We are at Nova, at the School of Science and Technology. I am involved with other colleague, Professor Antonio Camara, another one, and Theo as well, developing a new space that we call it the Disobedience Lab. And what we need for the, and we want for this Disobedience Lab is to invite our students, 2 year grade students, I mean, to second year of the Bachelor of Environmental Engineering program, is to have a space for these students to disobey to the business as usual, in whenever, wherever, I mean, in the topic they choose, if they want to disobey in mathematics or in physics or whatever. I mean, it's open, you know? It's a space that we want to develop with some digital stuff to experiment some different things. But the key idea is to put these young people, I mean, outside of the educational system for a moment, you know? During the week, we'll have 4 hours with these young people, to putting them outside of the educational system that we have, in order to make them exploring things in a different way.
I just love the name, the idea, and the practice of this Disobedience Lab. Thank you. Thank you. Can I sign up to this Disobedience Lab? Actually, you anticipated what I was going to ask both of you. So how can we rewire academia to help humans become a positive force for transformation of the planet, contributing to a regenerative development? Maybe Per, you want to present also the transformation lab you are conducting? Are disobedient as well?
I think it is, and we have tested the idea of T labs for in a project together with the STEP Center in the UK and others around the world. I think this is a great idea, Julia, about the Disobedient Lab, because that's what it's all about, is to create these spaces for transformation. And I think disobedient and courage and other things are really important. And you asked about how transformations can happen, and that many of our studies and other researchers studies also is point to the need to sort of create these spaces and what they call the sort of protected niches where new ideas can start to formulate, and from ideas, maybe networks of people can start to emerge, and that's where maybe the reconnection and rewiring starts to happen. And the big challenge right now is that we have so many great these transformative spaces and experiments out in the world on many of our pressing issues that we're facing. But what we're looking at is like trying to understand how all these good things that are going on out there in the margin can have an impact at scales that matters in what we would call the Anthropocene, at these very large scale, scales and very large processes that we have at the global level. So I think it is a really interesting issue, is how these sort of transformative spaces and disobedient labs or T labs can have a disruptive effect, because we know that on that journey of going from small to have a larger impact on society, a lot can happen. And what often happens is that the current status quo system, the dominant system, is co-opting these ideas to make them fit into what's already exist instead of being disruptive. So we talk about adaptive innovations instead of disruptive innovations. And I think that means also that you, as a change maker, as an agent of change, the system might change you more than you are changing the system. So that's something that we're trying to understand as part of a transformative process, and especially how to navigate that complexity as an agent of change.
Yeah, thank you. This is giving me a lot of hope, because actually I started the episode saying, oh my God, we'll be nurturing the doom and gloom scenarios of the first episode, but no. We have seeds of change, we have social innovation space, we have transformation spaces, and I just want to thank you for holding the spaces and creating the spaces. Maybe just a closing remarks to help young people to join one of these spaces, or creating one if they are in places where those spaces are still difficult to find. Do you want to give a closing remarks to the young people who is listening to this episode now?
Yeah, I would like to say one more thing. My background is more related with environmental engineering and sustainability and ecological equilibriums and things like that. And one of the things that is being worried me to the young people, but maybe because I'm living in Lisbon, which is a city, very large urban area, but we receive students from other parts of the country and also from other parts of the of Europe. But what I realize about these young people is how far they are from nature, how much they lack about the knowledge, how nature function and feels the nature, you know, this lack of contactness with nature. So one thing that we want also to include in this D-Lab is to put the young people emerge for 2 or 3 or 4 days in some natural reserve. We have designed a partnership with the National Conservation Institute to receive them and to put them immersed in nature. I think people and the young people are much more immersed in digital world than in the natural world. And I do believe that is also forms the way, contributes to the way we think about the world and the sustainability of the planet. And maybe this should also be a force, I mean, to go ahead.
Yeah, I guess Julia, you are right. I mean, changing the human nature relationship is the key for transformation. And I guess experiencing nature, being nature is the only way, I guess, we can transform one by one people perception towards planet and towards ourselves as well, I guess. Per, may you you may want to close as well your our conversation.
Yeah, very good point there, Julia, about connecting people and the planet in the changes and staking out new trajectories. That rewiring our relationship with the planet is fundamental, and so it's a good point. And I just want to add that something is the reflection from the COP26 right now, and I see that in the Swedish media. There's some reports, of course, then that what Greta Thunberg say, and then there's some reaction from some political youth here in Sweden, and sort of criticizing Greta for what she's saying and how she says it, and that she doesn't understand politics, and so I think that's a. That's a bit of a trap right now, that you create these sort of almost conflicts between different youth groups and that one say like more of an activist movement and the other one is sort of the political entrepreneurs that or policy entrepreneurs that works in the political system. And I think that it's really important right now to see that both have an important role and many more. Other actors also have important roles. So it's about mapping the roles that we have. Instead of saying like you're wrong and you don't understand, we should actually think about what roles do we have in the transformation process, because the activist might have a really important role in the preparation phase that we call the preparation phase of a transformation. And the politicians have an important role in the navigation phase, and it's when things needs to go from just ideas to institutionalization. So I think that is a really important I think message to sort of the young transformation movement right now, mm-hmm. which is broader than just the activists and the Fridays for Future.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Per. We indeed are on a large steamboat that we have to to shift, and so we have to stop delaying and accusing each other role and simplifying our seat in the boat, pick up an oar and begin rowing. Just however we are moved to row, utilizing our unique talents and experience. So, and being inspired by beautiful people like you and Julia. And so this gives me the occasion to thank once again your valuable time, your valuable experience shared here. And I see you the next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.